Father, we ask and receive this morning insight into your word. Thank you for the opening up of the written word this morning. All hearts are established in what you have done in your Son Jesus. Let every mind be focused on the person of Jesus. Let every heart be established in grace. Let our eyes all together behold Jesus Christ your Son as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel chapter 11 verse 23. We have been looking at the subject, you can have what you say. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I have what I say. I can have. You're not even saying it well to have it. I can have what I say. Alright, now Mark's Gospel 11. Just going to go into some more detail today. Verse 22. He says, have faith in God. Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I want you to pay attention to two words there. Whosoever and whatsoever. Okay? Whosoever and whatsoever. Say with me, whosoever and whatsoever. Alright, that's important that you place very good attention on that. Now, you know, we said that there are two references for this that we are going to look together. And that's Matthew 21 and then verse 22. Matthew's Gospel chapter 21 and then verse 22. Or verse 21, pardon me. Jesus answered and said unto them, he says, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Amen. Notice the word if you have, because we put the two together last week and we found out that what he said is if you have the faith of God, or if you have the faith that God gives. And the word have is a word echo, E-C-H-O, which means to possess something. In other words, it's dealing with an authority that you have. We said last week that Jesus is teaching how to use the believer's authority. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Come on, talk to me. Okay, so he's teaching how to use the believer's authority. Now, notice again, last week we looked at the Genesis account. Remember? God said, and then God saw. God said, and then God saw. So God himself is doing what Jesus asked us to do. God said, then God saw. Right, God said, then he saw. That is, he uses words. He used words. Praise the Lord. God said, and God saw. And by the way, you know that the most important truths you know about God are in his words. That's important. His power is in his words. And you know what we know about him is in his words. For example, what you have as a written word was first spoken, then written, so that it can be what? Spoken. Amen. I said amen. It was first spoken, then written, so that it can be spoken. And that's vital. So we said that last week. Now, in John chapter 7 verse 46, John 7 46, notice what was peculiar about Jesus was not how he dressed or his favorite meal. Who knows the favorite meal of Jesus? The Passover. He kind of liked bread and fish. What do you think? He talked about bread a lot. I'm not a bread fan. No, Jesus talked about bread a lot. I am the bread of life. Right? He kind of didn't say I'm the rice of life. You know, he had bread and then fish multiplied. Then when he rose from the dead, he also asked for bread. I'm getting you somewhere right there. So how many like bread? You like Jesus. Anyway, we went and told his favorite meal, went and told his favorite designer, went and told how he looked. There was nothing special about all those things. What was unique about him was how he spoke. Praise God. Come on, are you there? How he spoke. John's Gospel 7:46. See this. The officer's answer said, never a man spoke like this man. No one talked like him. So what was remarkable about him was how he spoke. I remember last week we also looked at the fact that there was no guile found in his mouth. Can you remember that? Remember that? Okay. There was no guile found in his mouth. In Matthew's account, he said he spoke as one who had authority. So there was some premium, if you like to see it that way, with his words. Amen. Jesus spoke. He spoke in ways that we have to use his words today. You know that believers today, there's nothing to use in their words. Because Daniel, what they say is barren and empty. Jesus spoke words that we're using today. No one talked like him. He spoke authoritatively. And we said last week, the reason why he was captured, or better still, the reason why he was arrested, was because of what? His words. And there was no guile found in his words, yet that was why he was arrested. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, you have words. There were words he spoke. His words were vital. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Note this now. If you knew that everything you say will come to pass, how would you be speaking? If you knew that everything you say will come to pass, I guess some people would just become introverts. They become introverts. See, I know I don't talk much. And have many things they want to say, but it must not come to pass. They'll be quiet a lot of times. If you knew your words were very important, how would you use them? You know, if you knew your words were important, you would not always be saying your mind. So, I want, leave me alone, let me speak my mind. That's your mind? You know what's in your mind, don't you? Jesus said words that they said no one spoke like him. No one did. No one spoke like him. We go back to Mark 11. So, he wasn't teaching what he wasn't practicing. Mark 11. Amen. Amen. All right, look at this. So, what was the background of that story? He, in verse 13, and seeing a fig tree after verse 13, afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the fig wasn't yet. Verse 14 is where we're going. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Amen. You know, I've seen some folks ask me, but why did he have to speak to the fig tree like this? And I felt, why not defend the wind also and the rain? Oh, you didn't get that. Then toss on earth. Why do you have to speak to the fig tree like that? I said, well, what about the rain and the winds? Maybe you should have stopped the winds. You should have let the wind be. Why would you be defending the fig tree? You know, some things are just illogical. What's the point? What's your point with the fig tree? Do you belong to the fig tree family? Of course not. So he said, no man eats of fruit of thee again. That's what he said. I mean, see someone talking to a fig tree. Yeah. No man eats fruit of you again. You say, Master, I've seen a vision of something's wrong. How can someone be talking to things? Because he's talking to the fig tree. He said, no man eats of you again. Now, look at the B part of that statement. Come on. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter, verse 14, forever. Let's finish the B part now. And his disciples heard it. Let's take that again. And his disciples. Take it one more time. And his disciples. So he wasn't murmuring it. He Did you hear what I said? Read my lips. Did you hear it? I said you're like Pastor Jakes. You didn't hear me. So, you won't know what I said because you didn't hear me. Right? What if I talk like this one? Like to. Okay. I almost said Chelsea, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but then I go. My name is John Brown. You hear me? So, words not loud enough, not clear enough, don't carry authority. Words not loud enough and not clear enough, don't carry authority. You don't speak unambiguous words and expect things. Sorry. You don't speak ambiguous words and expect things to happen. No. He said it clearly, and his disciples heard it. You know, he had more than one disciple. So let's assume he had 12 that day, and I believe he had more because there were some other women. There were 70. Matthias was there. If I don't know anybody was there, Matthias was there. According to Acts 1:14. So Matthias was there. Everybody was there. And 12 people plus 70 people heard what he said. In other words, there's nothing called silent faith. So what's happening? If it's faith, it's going to be loud. Amen. You know, one other person who was the most important person who heard what he said? Huh? Peter? Oh my God, you lost that. The fig tree. The fig tree got it. Because he spoke to the fig tree. He didn't say, Peter. He didn't even mention anyone's name. He said, hey, buddy. No, that's it. Hey, guy. Hey, figgy. No, man. Each of you hereafter, ever. He didn't say, really? Lord, if it be your will, I beseech you, Heavenly Father. He said, no, man. Praise God. Hear of you hereafter. Everybody heard me. Praise God. Are you in church? You heard me well. So, you can't have faith work without words. Faith doesn't work because you believe. Oh my God. That thing has been in my mind. Oh, good. It works because you said it. Amen. So I say, say. Say, say. The prophet said, let the redeemed, take that next week, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The word so is not in the original. So let the redeemed of the Lord say, we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. Let the redeemed say, I have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise God. You got to say. Matthew's Gospel 17:20. Amen. Many guys know how to talk to the pastor about the problem. Pastor, sir, you know, this problem, and I'm trusting God. And I'm trusting God. You know, that thing is a very religious statement. I'm trusting God. I'm looking up to Him for greater things, you know, and all that. And say, okay, now, brother, talk to the problem, sir. I mean, when people are asking for counseling, their voice is very loud. They say, sir, what have been through? What have been through? What has been through me? And all that. Where you say, now it's time to pray. You hold the hand. Say, you will speak to the problem. Their voice goes low. Matthew's Gospel 17:20. Come on, now you there. Matthew's Gospel 17:20. You need to respond quickly. And respond. Amen. One day I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said to me, he said, from our diagnosis, you know, and doctors are very smart. Am I right? You're smart. Doctors are very smart. You're smart. Right? You're smart. So, They go, from the chests we have seen, we discovered this and this. And then, on a normal case, it's something we have to treat for the rest of your life because it's incurable. And I looked into you. You don't say, huh? Huh? I said to him straight away, I said, I will be healed. He said, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, no, sir. You don't understand what I am saying. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Praise God. Because there's nothing called silent faith. You don't wait and get home and meditate upon it and go and Google the disease. What exactly did he call it? Or go and use a med app. What's that thing again? This application. That 14 likely. Can you read those things? You go, hey! Hey! You see, oftentimes after 6 months, it graduates and aggravates it. Hey, Charlie! You get it? He said it immediately. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. I said, glory, 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 glory. I have what I say. I have what I say. So Matthew 17, 20. You don't wait. You don't wait. Praise God. You don't wait. Matthew's Gospel 17, 20. They asked Jesus a question. Why could we not cast the demon out? He said, because of your unbelief. Verse 20. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, not like that, it's just telling you that even if your faith is as little as this, you shall what? You shall what? So there's no authority without words. Authority doesn't work because you think about it. Authority doesn't work because you like it. Authority doesn't work because you believe Jesus died for you. I believe it. I believe. You know what I'm saying? I believe that Jesus did it. I believe. I believe that it's true. I believe the word of God is true. But then you tell him, do you know that you are free from the hand of the enemy? Do you know you cannot be cursed? I believe it. You know, I believe it looks like, okay, it looks like it is true. You know, you've got to say it. Praise God. You gotta say it. Because what you don't say hasn't been used. It's like an unpreached gospel saves no one. How come people don't get saved by God's presence? Have you ever wondered that God just, all that a man needs to be born again is for God to be there. But he's everywhere. How come people don't get saved because God is there? They only get saved when words are spoken and they believe it. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Come on, see this. All of Jesus' teaching on the work of faith was the believer's authority. Get back to Matthew 8. The centurion got something we must never forget. Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. If you are silent about your faith, you will lose by default. You will experience defeat by default. That is, you were programmed to be defeated because you said nothing. Unspoken faith, which we understand is believer's authority, is unused authority. And any authority you don't use is not functioning, even though it's yours. Get again in Matthew's Gospel. The centurion understood what Jesus was saying. He said, Master, my servant lies at home, verse 6, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. You know, that looks cool. Jesus is coming. Jesus, I want your prayer. excited about it. You know, Jesus is coming to my house. Oh, he's going to come. And when he comes, he will come. And when he's there, he will hug us. Some guys are just sensual. The guy says, no need come. Speak your word only. She knew that Jesus is present without his words will do nothing. Because if Jesus walks into the room, he will still have to say something. And he knows that words have no distance barrier. That whatever you say in my presence will work as much as if you said it away from my presence. He knew it. He knew that if you were in command of something, and you took your phone and you said, hello? This is General so-so-and-so. Sir! The guy goes, sir. How many of you have, maybe your boss call you and you're in your house and you stand up? Unconsciously. You know, someone highly respected person says, hello, this is so-so-and-so person. And you go, I remember one time I called the governor of Lagos State. I just called him by joke. I sent a text message to him. And then he called me. I was in the bathroom. He said, this is the governor of Lagos State. I said, money, sir. You know, and I cleaned my face up as though he's saying, why are you in the bathroom? I said, sorry, sir. Because money. Yeah. You sent me a text and said, I did, sir. I'm losing my balance. He isn't there, but his words carry authority. Centurion said, I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. He didn't say, I hold one. You must go, and he goes. No, I say to one. How do you think folks try to cast out the demon? And they go, out, out. I say, out, out, out. And the whole soldier said, let me use her. I don't want to use you again. You come. You look like it. This is your hairstyle. And I go, out of it! I go, out! And people get migraine. From deliverance. Nonsense. So come out! Praise God. If you have command, you don't stop muscling the person. Says, speak your word only. And your servant will be healed. I'm a man of authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one, go. He goes. I say to one, come. He comes. Say to another, do this. And it shall be done. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Say, my words are my servants. Say like me. Say, my words are my servants. Say it again. My words are my servants. Look at the man again. I have soldiers under me and I say, something I say. Notice he said, I say. I say to one, I say to another, I say. You can't use authority without saying. The believer's authority is not just given to us, it's necessary. You can't use authority without words. I say. Praise God. I said, praise God. Look at Mark 11:23 one more time. Verily I say unto you, now I'm going to explain some vital truth to you. You must listen very well. Verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, whosoever, you know, I thought Jesus would say, when Peter said, Master, the fig tree you cursed has died up from the roots. By the anointing, Jesus brings the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the prophet foretold. Hey, these are the days of the Lord that reigns, and God is moving in his power again. By the anointing, Jesus brings. What's next song? He's not bad, bad, he's not bad, he's not bad, bad. I said, these are the days. These are the days. He said, verily I say unto you, it is, hold on, write this down. Verily I say, Yeah, put that down. Hold on. Whosoever. Yeah, whosoever. Put that one down.
Whosoever, whosoever.
Hold on, I'll get it for you now. Shall say. Say. Yes. Say. Say. Yes. Say. Onto this mountain. This mountain. Mountain. No, Jesus did not deliberate on it. He said, verily I say unto you. In other words, that's how we function in here. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Have you seen how many times we have read the word say? The centurion said it. You shall, I will say unto one, praise God. Say, how's it to say? Say. How many times shall one say? 3 times. In other words, if you teach faith, for every time you mention the word believe, you mention the word say 3 times. Because the believe, you cannot believe without speaking. And we said last week, there are 3 kinds of say there. The first say is to speak authoritatively, to address something. For example, I said to you, leave now. Then the second statement is to affirm it. Like I said earlier, you leave. The last one, you shall have whatever he says. In other words, you shall have whatever he says. Whatever he believes in, it shall come to pass, which means it's not happened when you said it, but it shall happen. So you will keep saying what you said. You say it, you affirm it, then you will keep saying what you said. In other words, when Jesus left Bethany that day, he kept saying it. No man eat fruit of thee again forever. When they got to Jerusalem, he kept saying it. That fig tree I spoke to, no man eat of it forever. When they come in, no man, he kept saying it, because that's what he just said. You will say, then believe what you have said, you shall have whatever you say. You don't stop saying. Let me see how the following does. Come on. You get it? You don't stop saying. I believe that I receive and I have. So you say. So hear this now, a quick one. Write this down, it's vital. Fear and doubt and unbelief are in words. Now, hold on now. Stop writing this to something. Turn to the person beside you. You can never know what is in his heart. You know, you can't know what's in your heart. I can't know what is in your heart. They're looking at me funny. What's in your heart? I have some guys that know what's in your heart. If you're just a fan, I know what's in your heart. It's never going to come past. But you know, you can't know what someone's heart. Only God has the access to know what's in people's hearts. You know that? You can't know what's in people's heart. So demons sure can't know what's in your heart. Follow what I'm saying? No one can know it. So even if you have fear in your heart, no one will know. Because fear and doubt will die unborn if they are not spoken. No one will know. You can have fear in your heart, no one will know. Demons will know it because you said nothing. Same way faith will only walk when you speak. Praise God. Watch this now. So, write this out. Fear, doubt, and unbelief will die unborn until they are spoken. Look at Matthew 6:31. Jesus said, take no thought Matthew 6:31. Let's take it together now. Matthew 6:31. That's the word to worry. Take no thought saying. Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:25. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall put on. Matthew 6:27. Which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Matthew 6:28. And why take you thought for raiment? So he's talking about worry. Right? Mean worry. Matthew 6:20. Matthew 6:34. Take no thought for tomorrow. So how do you take thoughts? By what?
Saying.
So doubt can come to you. Worry can come to you. But you only take it when you say it. Amen. Said amen. Take no thought saying. So worry comes as a thought. But it will die unborn until you are say it. God say. Amen. I said amen. Let me take that again. Worry and doubt and fear, they'll die unborn until you say it. There's no believer, no matter how much of the word of God you have, that you have thoughts you want to be worried or fear. But they have no impact till you say it. Because your words are your authority. What you refuse to say has no authority over your life. So your words. Take no thought saying, praise God. So, how do I worry? Worry is a temptation until I say it. Worry is a temptation till I say it. Matthew 10:19. When they deliver you up, Matthew 10:19. Take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. In other words, he said the thought will come, but don't take that thought because words will be given to you. In other words, when we have doubt and worry, we must not speak emotionally, rather, we should speak, Matthew 10:19, we should speak words that are programmed. Don't say, well, I'm expecting myself. Luke 10:41. In the house of Mary and Martha, Luke 10:41. Jesus said, many people read 41, but they don't get what happened. How did Jesus know that Martha was careful or was worried? Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Did Jesus see into our heart? No. Verse 41. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, Luke 10:40, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Be that therefore that she helped me. So she expressed it in what? Words. Worry and doubt will die unborn until they are spoken. Luke 12:11, the same thing. What you shall say. Philippians 4:6. Look at that. Philippians 4:6. It says, be careful for what? Nothing. I like that statement. Nothing is the Greek word medihis. M-E-D-I-S. It means, pay attention, don't say it. It's like saying, there's a care, there's a worry, but don't act upon it. And acting upon worry is not an action, it's in words. In other words, don't give it words. Amen. Don't give it words. Somebody asked me one time, he said, I observed that you gave a particular testimony and you never till date mentioned what the disease was. Someone asked me that question. I said, you're very intelligent. You've heard me give that testimony for over 10 years and I never mentioned what disease was. Said, you know why? Said, why? Because only the doctor said what it was. I never repeated it from that day till now. I've still not said it. She knew the story. I never told her what it was. Praise God. Never said it. I've still not said it. Was I denying the facts? No, I wasn't denying the facts. I knew what he said, but I didn't say it. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing. Let it not be in your words. What should be in your words is prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Amen. I said amen. Don't give the problem power by speaking. So, worry dies unborn in your thoughts until you say it. But the truth is, if you let it tarry enough, you will see it. So the minute, because every thought came to you by words. There is no thought that came to you supernaturally. That you just found the thought there. No. Something was said, either by someone you know, someone you respect, someone that has authority over your life. A doctor, for example, your banker, your dad, your wife, your husband, someone that has authority. Sometimes your pastor. But it dies unborn. It's in your mind. Because you cannot control words that come to you. But you can control what comes out of you. Praise God. One time I just laid hands on someone. And I heard this words very loud and clear. The word said, you'll never, because I had these testimonies in that period where a lot of people who were declared barren naturally started conceiving, you know. So, I just heard those words, you will never have a child of your own. I remember the corner, I turned the corner of the street, and I laughed a lot. You know, you say, that's me, I find, I do, they go and tell somebody, do you know I heard this? You are spreading the doubt. I said, never! I said, I'm going to have two children. The first one's going to be a boy, the second one's going to be a girl. And they're going to have 3 years between them. Those of you who have known me many years ago, I said it, just like that happened. I said it. And it's going to happen like that. Praise God. Never try to check what's the gender of the child, because I said it before I got into a relationship to get married. Hallelujah. So when I heard that, you just go, God, nonsense. Nonsense. You don't say, I'm going to fast. You have taken the thought. I'm going to fast. Then all night prayer, you'll be repeating those words. It will never happen. This one, to me, my child of God. The apple of his eye. Hallelujah. I have what he says I have. Glory to his name. Are you still there? So worry will die unborn until you say. What about fear? Look at Mark 4. It's not fair or fearful till you say it. Mark 4:40. Mark 4. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? He's talking to his own disciples. How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? The word fearful there is deilos in the Greek. D-E-I-L-O-S. It means excessive dread. Excessive dread. Excessive. They go. Because what they did, how did he know that they were fearful? He didn't see their hearts. Look at how he knew. Verse 38. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Even Jesus did not know anyone was afraid until they said it. Praise God. You gotta say it fast. That's how we know they were praying. So, fear doesn't born until you say it. Some of us think it's healthy. It's just healthy. Say it out. Just express yourself. Can't you just express yourself? What did they do that was wrong? They just said, Master. You know, that's a good prayer. Lord, I'm your child. You can't look at me like that for me to be destroyed or destroyed. He said, that is heartfelt prayer. I am pouring my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, you are pouring fear. And you are giving fear authority over your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. He didn't say, let your fears be made known to God. He said, let your request. I don't want to die. That cannot be your request. Praise God. This must not happen to me. What would the world say about you? See, all that emotional thing doesn't work. The guy said, Jesus, son of David. You know, Oriki doesn't work. Until he said, heal me. Praise God. Matthew 14. So fear has no work till words are spoken. Say, I value my words. Say, like me, say, I value my words. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? How did Jesus know he was doubting? How did he know? How did he know that Peter doubted? It's not difficult. Verse 30. He cries, hey, Lord, save me. That's half in him. Doubt, fear are in words. So, even though you are thinking about it, it's still a temptation till you see it. However, if you allow it to linger long enough, it will turn to your words. Because doubt came to you in words, you cannot kill doubt by thoughts. You neutralize it or annul doubt by the same method, by words. I'll tell you what I mean. You heard something from a doctor, or you heard something from someone, and said, you have a growth in your body, and it kills people. You know, you heard it. It came to you by words, but someone's words. Now, you need to now hear yourself. I said, no, I refuse to die. The power of God is working in my body. You annul the words by your words. See, there is no magic or mystery to doubt. There is no mystery to fear. It's a thought that came. You know, a child who knows nothing will want to cross the road. He knows nothing. But you go, there's no car coming. It's crossing the street. You know why? You have seen enough movies. You have seen it before. But if you never heard or saw a car hit someone and the person died, you will scream. In other words, the fear came because you saw something or you heard something. You can always trace the root of your fear. It's something someone said to you, something you watched, something that happened to someone and you felt what happened to you. But you see, doubt and fear will die on born until you say it. Amen. Are you in church? They'll die unborn. Jesus said in Matthew 14, he says, why did you doubt? He's talking to Peter. Whole of little faith. The word little faith, I showed you last week, is the word holigopistos. Holigo means something that was there but didn't stay. In other words, you can start by faith. You can say, glory, glory, glory. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I am. But as time went on, Peter looked up and he saw the wings. He saw his account statement. Real life figures. He checked his body. Hands were laid on him. The pain is still there. And he said, Lord, save me. You know, he said that. So he started out well. Many people forget that Peter actually walked on water. So you can start out in the miraculous and drift away into unbelief. Amen. You know, I was telling someone, I said, he's telling me about his health. And I said, you know, years ago, I knew you were very strong on this. He said, sir, I just noticed that along the line, I just really stopped being strong on divine healing for no just reason. And the thing is that there will be other areas of your life you focused on and you see the power of God working in there. But you just, on this one, just like a bicycle, you know. Maybe you found the reason to use drugs more. There's nothing wrong in using drugs, don't ever get me wrong. But there are some times you need to realize that drugs have no cure to something. So it's better you learn faith. Because you will need faith either for yourself or someone that you love. Amen? You know, so sometimes you start out well. You just go along the line. But particularly, many of us used to walk by faith strongly on divine health until we got money. Alright, come on. Because there is a security money gives you that I can always get a doctor. But when you were a student, and the sick bay of your school was sick. You know what I mean? The health center needed a doctor. You just say, I believe I receive. And I have it. You walk in your room, in your campus. You walk in, you say, no, the power of God is walking in my body. But now, you have money. You even have medical allowance. And you have HMO. You just go, I feel this thing. So, and let me just call up. You know, very easily, it's called, you're having trust in riches. That's what it is. Amen. Praise God. Say, healing is mine. Say, healing is mine. Glory, 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 glory. You know, I tell people all the time, this is not bad. No, it's not. But you know, many times when we go out on evangelistic outreaches in villages, there seem to be more faith to receive healing than the cities. You know why? Because they don't have good health care. So they believe God. There's no option, no alternative. But in the cities, they look around. Get well international hospitals. Well done hospitals. So you just say, I can walk in anyone. I have their cards. But right there, even their water needs the power of God. Their air needs the glory of God. So they believe. Praise God. And receive miracles. So Peter started out well. But he got in humbly. So that's why Jesus called him Oligopistos. In other words, he did not stand. He did not stay. Don't forget again. Faith, doubt are all in words. So I said they are all in words. Matthew 6:30, say. Matthew 6, let me just give some scriptures. To say. 6:31, pardon me. To say. Matthew 8:26. Same thing. Why are you so fearful? He said, O ye of little faith. Why did he say they were fearful? Because of what they said. Matthew 16:8. Every time he mentioned fear with his disciples, he was talking about words. Why are you of little faith? Why reason among yourself because you have brought no bread? Why? Because verse 7 says, they said, because we have taken no bread. So, it's always in words. It's always in words. Matthew 17:20. It's always in words. Faith, doubt, and fear are all in words. Until you say, you know, he never said in your heart. It was in their words. Until you say it, it's got no effect. But don't forget, if you allow it to linger enough in your thoughts, you start saying it. Sometimes it's in a joke. I have a teaching we did years back in 2001, Courses, Riddles and Jokes. How you need to realize that you can't afford to say contradictory things. Also, you can't afford to joke with fear, or joke with doubt, or joke with unbelief. There are some jokes that you shouldn't make. Even though they may look funny. But if you say a joke long enough, it becomes what you believe. Amen. Don't joke about your health. Don't joke about your life. Don't joke about your ministry. Don't joke about your lifestyle. Don't joke about things like that. Amen. So say, what then do I joke about? Maybe nothing. Praise God. Are you in church? Let's hear Solomon a little bit. Proverbs 18:20. So what works with faith is a general law of words. Come on. Are you there? It's a general law of words. The same way faith works by speaking, fear works by speaking. The same way faith works by speaking, listen now, doubt works by speaking. The same way faith works by speaking, unbelief works by speaking. Worry works by speaking. It's not a question of just faith. It's actually the way authority is used. So the minute I say it, I've allowed whatever was the intent of the fear to have a rule over my mind and over my life. I don't have to say it. Amen. Praise God. You learn something? You learn something? Come on, look at this. Proverbs 18:20. Many people read 21 without reading 20. Proverbs 18. He says, 21 says, some people read 22 alone. I'll leave that for another day. Here, come on. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The word lips there is not talking about the lips on your face. It's the word Safar in Hebrew, S-A-P-H-A-H. It's speech. 175 times. It's used for speech. So the word lips doesn't carry your physical body. It carries words. In fact, a better Hebrew translation will say something you say consistently. Your lips. The other word there is the word fruit of his mouth. This will make it clear to you that when you hear Adam and Eve at the fruit of a tree, it's not talking about a physical tree. And when you eat a physical tree and you put the apple or orange or mango, it goes into the latrine or the toilet or somewhere. That's not what he's saying. The fruit that a man will eat and will affect his spiritual life are his words. What Adam and Eve acted upon were words. Fruit. The day you eat the fruit of it, it was words. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? Because unbelief is in what? Words. What did Adam and Eve do in Genesis 3? Unbelief. How is unbelief expressed? Words. So the fruit of their mouth was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? Come on, does it make sense to you? Words were said. The fruit of the mouth. He uses the word belly. The word belly is the word bethay in the Hebrew. It means something within you. Actually, the Hebrew man will use it for your womb. Something within you. So he's saying to you, hear this now. He's saying, within you, you are satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. Do you know that Solomon is laying precedence for being full of the Spirit? We're going to get to that shortly. He says, listen, he says, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Listen now, the increase of his field refers to a crop yield. In other words, you need to plant words consistently in your mind with your mouth. If you want to change how you behave, you change how you think. If you want to change how you think, you change how you speak. It's what you say that affects what you think that affects how you live. That's what Solomon is saying. You start out by saying the right thing. Stop saying, I'm struggling with sin. That's what you keep doing. What about saying what the word says? Sin has no dominion over me. I'm alive under God and dead to sin. Say that consistently. Let that overwhelm your thoughts. Stop talking about, you know, this is what I did. You know, some of you think that by sharing your testimonies about what you did before you got saved, it's going to help you. No, it's going to worsen things for you. You need to be satisfied with the increase of your knowledge. You need to say the right things. Next verse. Death and life, he says, are in the power of the tongue. Now what I say, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Say the word fruit again. They that love it. The word love is the word aheb in the Hebrew. It means a fervent affection. In other words, when you see people pray, play premium on their words, they eat what they say. Don't speak loosely. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. So, when you hear death and life, in Genesis 3, it didn't happen like an experience. It happened through words. Words. Adam and Eve. Words. How is unbelief expressed? Words. How do people reject the gospel? Words. How do they believe the gospel? Words. We always say, it's easier said than done, because that's how God made it. God made it easier said than done. He actually wants us to say it. Amen. Are you in church? Yet I love it, we hit the fruit thereof. Look at James 3. So, you need to realize the importance of your words. If you're a parent as well, the importance of your words. You need to nurture people the way God nurtures us. Of your words. How do you say to you tell your son, well, can't you see? Can't you hear? And you say they are stubborn. Can't you? You don't even do that. What about saying things like, I know you're an obedient child? Say it so often. I know your flesh doesn't want you to say it. You want to express yourself. Sometimes some folks call their children goats, and I'm wondering, identification. If you call your son a goat, I just call the son a good son. A good goat. What about saying, you're an obedient son. You're a good boy. Amen. And he's behaving badly. But God speaks words that our mind may not comprehend, but eventually we live up to what he says. Amen. We don't do it before he tells us. He tells us, then we do it. Amen. Praise God. You can't afford to raise your children the way your unbelieving parents raised you. That's rubbish. You should raise your children the way the Father raises you today. Praise God. Are you in church? I thought we taught that in the series, Family, Life, and Relationships. You can get that. It's available. James 3, verse 2. Family, Life, and Relationships. We taught that last year. See what James said. James 3 and verse 2. Let's take it together. James 3 verse 2. But let's go. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know the word say we offend not. The word is to stumble in the Greek. It's the word plateau. It actually means to err. It says in many things we err. But if you don't offend in word, you don't offend at all. And he's teaching about love. Walking in love. Because by the time you look at James 2 and 10, he's talking about love. James 2 and 10. Alright, James 2 and 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend not in some point, he's guilty of all. Then he talks about love. James 3 and 2. Talking about love. So he says, the first way to walk in love is by what you say. No, he's talking about faith without works is dead. That's how we got here. Faith without corresponding actions. Now, when we say faith without works is dead, it says faith without love is dead. That's what he's talking about. The works there is not your office job. Faith without love. Because he started by saying, if a brother comes to you and he says, I have no food, and he says, God bless you, shun die. He says, no, you provide what he requires. Then he talks about Abraham, whose righteousness was shown by his deeds. Then he talks about Rahab, who accepted the spies. In other words, it's what you do to others as a work of faith. Faith without works, that's what James was teaching, James 2. Words. So I'll say words. James 3, again, verse 9. Let's take it together. James 3, 9. Are you there? Let's go. Everybody, come on. Let's go. Therewith, we bless you, God, even the Father. And therewith cause we men, which are made absolute of God. Let's take verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Verse 11. Though the fountain sent forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter. Verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear holy berries? Either vine, figs, so can no fountain but yield salt water and fresh. In other words, hey, man who is born again, born of God, cannot afford to curse. You don't use the right words. Your words are important. See, my words are important. Look at verse 3 again. Behold, we put beasts in the horses' mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of first winds, yet they are turned about with a great small helm, with the governor listed. Let's take verse 5 together. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts little great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Of course, you know the tongue is talking about is not this. Talking about words. That your words look so harmless. They don't look like the most powerful part of you, but they are the most powerful part of you. If you want to build a home filled with love and peace, start with the words that you say. If you want to build a ministry filled with love and peace, start with the words that you say. If you want to have a life full of love, start with the words that you say. Your words matter. Say, my words matter. Say, like me, my words matter. They matter a lot. Because James says that little member can set your whole life on fire. Because your life goes in the direction of the words that you speak. I'll take it one more time. Your life goes in the direction of the words that you speak. So, Jesus wasn't teaching a principle just that works with faith. It works with love. It works with fear. It works with doubt. It works with unbelief. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Words. They look little, but they are the most important parts of you. Proverbs 18:20. He says, you'll be filled with what you say. You know, isn't that how we're filled with the Spirit? Praise God. Isn't that how we're filled with the Spirit? Look at Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit speaking. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Alright? Speaking. So, even to be full of the Spirit, you gotta use your words. Acts 4:31. They were filled with the Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Began to speak. Acts 4 and then verse 8. Peter, filled with the Spirit, he said. Acts 13 verse 9. Paul, filled with the Spirit, he said. So, even to be filled with the Spirit, it's going to be by what? Saying. You can't be filled with the Spirit and nothing comes out of your mouth. The proof of being filled with the Spirit are words. So, I say words. So, words are important to your spiritual life. To your walk with God. To your walk amongst men. Praise God. You need to pay attention to what you say. I told you last week, did you try it? You know what I said? You should record your words. Put a recorder beside you. And you record what you said throughout the day. You will be shocked at the revelation of who you are. You know, if you do that once, you'll be more quiet the next day. Amen. Check what you say. You know, go to Mark 11 again. Do you know that if Mark 11 sounded like this, it'll make sense. Whosoever in church shall say unto this mountain. I mean, everybody will qualify. Because in church, everybody speaks well. Bless you. It is well. Oh, amen. Amen. We are blessed. Hallelujah. No curse here. Praise God. We are what the world says we are. We all of us. You know. So that verse now worked. We said in church. But as soon as people leave the auditorium, morning. So the words for church are left behind in church. Now let's face reality now. Yeah. Then we gotta say things. No. What you say in the service, you say after the service, you say morning, you say Tuesday morning, shall believe in his heart that the things which he says, so it's not just one speaking, which he says, the life follows the dominant words that you speak. Your life follows the dominant words that you say. E.W. Kenyon said, you rise or fall to the degree of your confession. You rise or fall to it. What you say is what you see. So you learn to speak to the mountain. We said that. You address the situation. Mark 11. Say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Matthew 17:20. You shall say two. So I said, say two. In other words, you need to also let we said that words are involved in your work with God. They're involved in your work amongst men. And words are also vital in how circumstances change. You must learn to say true. We said earlier that the words of faith or the words that change situations must be very, very unambiguous. You say to the mountain. You don't say, you shall say to this mountain if you can. No. Say to the mountain, try and. No. Shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Very, very clear. And be thou cast into the sea. Now, if things happen immediately we say it, it won't say, but you will believe that those things that you say shall come to pass. In other words, there is a speaking and a consistent speaking and a continual speaking. Everybody likes to start out well. Yes! You feel so excited. Oh, glory to God! What a great week I had. Glory to God! Of last week, the lines are falling on me in the pentagram. Yeah, I'm going to do everything. Then Monday, you get a phone call. I surrender. You know, he said, you believe that those things that you said shall come to pass. In other words, you're going to see things that are different from what you said. But you believe in your heart the things that you said shall come to pass. Then you will have whatsoever that you say. Praise God. So I don't say once. I say it. Then I keep saying it. Then I'll have what I have been saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you in church? So, notice this. You cannot believe without saying. Also, you can't doubt without saying. You can't fear without saying. You can't worry without saying. Worry can come to you. You think about it. But you are not worried until it comes out in what you say. You are not afraid till it's found in what you say. So sometimes it can come to your heart, to your mind, and you're thinking about it. But don't forget, don't allow it to linger long enough. Does that make sense? Don't allow it to linger long enough. Look at Mark 5. There was a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. Only 12 years. 12 years is long. You agree? is long enough to be sick. 12 years is 365 days times 12. What's the calculation for that? That's about 4,000 days. Am I right? My math is horrible. About 4,000 days or more than that. About 5,000 days or more. So 5,000 days of your life or more, you see blood. I mean, every day. You know, you can get used to it. I tell you, that my blood, it becomes something you say regularly. But they say, would you be able to come to my house and stay over? You know I can't. You know I can't. I don't want to stay in your bed. Oh, so you have now adjusted to it. That people even understand you as bloody. But she heard of Jesus. And she came in behind the press. For she said, what did she say? She said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, those were not Jesus' words, they were our own words. I shall be whole. She said so. You know, Jesus didn't tell her, hey woman, I heard you have issue, I'm blood. That's Yaman blood. You know what? What you will do is this. When you get home, you will say. Then when you say, you will not come. When you come, you will not touch me. When you touch me, I will not turn around. Say, who touched me? No. The woman wasn't given a formula. She simply said, when I get to the meeting, I'm going to touch him. And I will be whole. She didn't quote a scripture. She didn't quote a verse. She didn't say, the Greek word of touch is perisema. No. She just said, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. And the Bible says, straight away, the fount of her blood dried up. And then Jesus said, who touched me? Pay attention to something. Let me go to my part. Jesus now began to ask her, what happened to you? So watch this. She told him all she did. That's how we got that account. She told Jesus, what I saw, when I heard of you, I said, I'll touch your clothes, I will be healed. And Jesus said to her daughter, go your faith. Do you know we can say your words? Because the only thing that was faith in what she said were our words. Your words have made you whole. Hallelujah. Say, my words make me whole by the power of God. Say, my words make me whole by the power of God. So, you know, I can have healing in my body just by speaking. So, say, but in that instance, she taught Jesus. Don't forget, Jesus didn't have to go to the centurion's house to heal his servant. So it's not as much as the presence of Jesus, as much as words that were spoken. People thought Jesus' clothes, nothing happened to them. This woman said it, and then she received. So your words play a major role on the life of faith. Amen. Say, I have what I say. Come, everybody raise your hand once. Raise one hand and say, I have what I say. I have what I say. I have what I say. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have what I say. You must learn to use your words. Don't forget. God communicates to us through words. God gave us. Why do you think the Bible was written? Why do you think God put his thoughts in words? See this. Go to Hebrews 13:5. Have I asked you this question already? What would you do if you found out that all your words come to pass? How would you be speaking? Sister, what do you want? How would you be speaking if you found out all your words come to pass? You be careful. Well, careful. What about you, sir? If you found out all your words come to pass, how would you be speaking? You're amazed now. What about you? If you found out all your words come to pass, how would you be speaking? Much more careful how you speak. Why is everybody saying careful? Why not say, I will be much more. How is that word apart from careful? How fill my words more with faith. Right? Don't use the word careful, because you're supposed to be careful for nothing. I will fill my words with faith more. Right? Amen. Hebrews 13:5. Can we take it together? Alright? Let's go. Lack of righteousness. For? What do you have? For he has said. Hold on now. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that, come on. No, hold on. So he's not the one that has to be bold. We are the ones that have to be bold. Come on. He has said, so that we might say. So in other words, God gives us his words so that we can have what to say. He has said, so that we might boldly say. So a believer, write this down quickly, must learn to say what God has done for him in Christ. We'll take that next week. What he has done for you in Christ. You know, many believers don't know that giving a testimony is not telling us that you were healed last week or you bought a car. Giving a testimony is to consistently affirm what God has done in Christ. That's the first thing. Secondly, who you are in Christ. Number one, what God has done for you in Christ. Number two, who you are in Christ. Number three, what Jesus is doing now for you. Hebrews 7:25 says he's making intercession for us. Romans 8:33 and 34 says the same thing. You say, what is Jesus doing? Number four, what God is doing in us now is at work in us. So I take it again. Your words must be filled with what God has done in Christ. Who you are in Christ, secondly. Number three, what Jesus is doing for you now. And number four, what God is doing through you today, or in you, he's at work in you. Say, God is at work in me. What about saying that often? Say, God is at work in me. Some guys know how to say a whole lot about things like generational curses. You know, I did this, I did that. But they don't say what God has done in Christ. Say it so often. What God has done for us in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's how we sing. What God has done for us in Christ. Go to Romans chapter 4. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Romans chapter 4. Amen. Verse 17, one of my favorite portions of the scripture. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God said that to Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, come on, let's finish it, and collect those things which be not as though they were. Now, people often argue that this verse refers to God. And I've engaged a lot of people, even very experienced theologians, on this verse. And they said, no, it is God that calls the things that be not as though they were. And I said, no, it's Abraham. Why? The very next verse says, who against hope? Is that God? Believe in hope. So whoever was in 17 is the same one in 18. Now, and this is where I usually end this argument. Say, let's assume it's true. That God is the one being referred to there. That he calls the things that be not as though they were. Does that preclude us from acting like him? The guy says no. So let's leave it that way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I call the things that be not as though they were. In other words, when you start calling them, they will not be in existence. Here's Abraham, he's walking the road, and he says, I am a father of many nations, he's got no child. You think he's mad. But because verse 17 says, a father of many nations have I made you. You know, God made him, but he didn't see it. God made him and there was no child. Amen. He didn't see it. Praise God. The word of God is superior to your experiences. That's why it's going to change it. So what Abraham do? He called the things that be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become, praise God. Watch this. Look at verse 17. Let's take something now. So the distance between what God said and what you become, the manifestation, is what you say. For God said, a father of many nations have I made you, and Abraham became it by calling it. Did you see it? See 17. A father of many nations have I made you. But 18 says, he became the father of many nations. So what was the difference between what God made him and what he became? Is that he called the things that be not. No, now what be not? Pardon my English. He was not a father of many nations, though God said it. And God's word is reality. So what be not? He wasn't the father. What be not? He wasn't the father. What be not? He wasn't the father. What did God make him? A father. What be not? He wasn't the father. What he called? I am a father of many nations. The things that be not as though they were. What does that mean? If you check the story very well. The day God told him, he said, why are you still bearing Abraham? Why are you Abraham? I called you Abraham many years ago. So he changed his words from Abraham to Abraham. Abraham means assumed father. Abraham means the father of many nations. Within a year that he said that, Isaac came. Praise God. You need to align what you say with what God has said. A father of many nations have I made you. Pay attention now. So, he, against hope, believed in hope. And then what did he do? Says, he now became a father of many nations. Look at 19. And being not weak in faith. So, what did Abraham do? Being not weak in faith. Being not weak in faith. Watch this. The first thing he did. He called the things that be not as though they were. That looks very strange. You will say what you cannot see. First thing he did. He called the things that be not as though they were. First thing he did. The second thing he did. He was not weak in faith. Rather, he considered not his body, which was now dead, or Sarah's womb, didn't consider it. In other words, he wasn't talking about that. He wasn't going on Google to find out, what does it mean for you? Can it ever, has there been anything in history for a woman this old to have children? Some of us know so many, you know every other fact, but the fact of God's word. You are so deep in those facts. You know the botanical, geological, mechanical, physical, spiritual. You know, some people know the name of demons. They know the name of demons. Say, tell me five scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. They don't know it. But they know seven sons of Kiva. Asmodeus. Incubus and Succubus. Bacchus. The spirit of Potiphar. Some guys, the way they know the Old Testament, you think they were Jews. Hallelujah. I was showing the guy something. Is a Jew, he was really offended when I was done. I said, Paul said, concerning the law, I was blameless. Pharisees of Pharisees. I said, yeah. He said, but 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, Christ came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I said, so, the blameless of you guys is the chiefest of sinners. He almost threw a punch at me. That's for another day. Amen. Are you there? Not weak in faith. He did not consider his body. Praise God. That means your confession does not consider the situation. He didn't consider his own body now. Not the deadness of Sarah's womb. Number three, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. What was he doing? He was giving glory to God. Glory to God! You know, waking up in the morning and say, I'm a father. I am a father. Woo! I'm a father. If you were his houseboy or you were his cousin or nephew, I understand what uncle is going through. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy. At that age, with all this money, it is well. You know why people say it is well? It's pity. It is well. It is well. It is river. So, you need to realize what you say. Number four, he was fully persuaded. I like that word, fully persuaded. It's a Greek word, plerophonio. It means it got to a point that nothing could change what he has affirmed. Fully persuaded. So being in faith does not mean situations will change. No, it's not a magic wand. I'll close it. It doesn't mean situations will just say at the drop of a hat. No. You will need to call the things that be not as though they were. Amen. Do you know that we actually do that? For many times in the negative sense. We do that a lot. What did the disciples say? Master, careth not that we perish. That's calling the things that be not as though they were. Ah! So I'm going to die. And you are speaking. That's calling the things that be not as though they were. Amen. I have what I say. Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this man, be thou removed, and be thou cast into sin, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. I am blessed. My needs are met. My bills are paid. I have resources coming my way every day of the week. I walk in God's abundance. I walk in love. I have no unforgiveness in my heart. I forgive very easily. I'm not given to anger. I am submissive and I am patient. Glory, glory, glory. My body is functioning well. No disease stays in my body by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am walking in healing and I'm walking in health. So I call the things that be not as though they were. I don't consider my body. I give glory to God. I'm not weak in the faith. I am fully persuaded that the word of God is working in my life. I may not see something today, but I'm surely going to see it. It shall come to pass. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. You know, after a few weeks when I saw the doctor, I was feeling somewhere in my body. I stayed stronger. I just stayed longer. I just kept saying it. And when I went to check it, the guy was confused. Nothing was there anymore. No way to God. Nothing was there anymore. Because I have what I say. 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 It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Glory to God, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. You know, years ago, an authority figure in this nation said to me, he said, in 5 years, I will no longer be in the ministry and I was going to die. 1998 precisely. Well, I was there then in Ibadan. And I said, in that 5 years, I'll go and see. And I actually went to see. After the 5 years, I went again 10 years. Hallelujah. I have what I say. So I said, what would you about? I said, nothing. He said, I say. You said, I say. Hallelujah. You know, Goliath said, David said, He didn't keep quiet. You say, I say. Amen. So, you don't allow the mountain to keep talking. You must respond. Hallelujah. Everything is working. Everything is working. Don't say, well, why is everything working against me? No. He considered not his own body. Say, everything is working for my good. And it's working fine. It's working good. Glory to God. Lift those hands and bless God. Come on, thank him.